Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles today, open the book of Mark. Y'all know where that is? We're going to stay in the book of Mark. How many of y'all excited about the book of Mark this morning? The Gospel according to John Mark. We've been in this series called Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. How many of y'all have gotten something out of the Word in walking in the footsteps of Jesus? I was after last week at the dinner at the dinner table. I was talking with Pastor Luann and we were celebrating Mother's Day. You mothers have a good Mother's Day. And isn't it amazing? You can read these stories over and over. I've been raised on all of these stories. And God has just begun. How many of y'all know the word of the Lord is alive? How many of y'all know it ain't dead, but it's alive? It's alive. And so there's so much life that the Lord has just been showing me through these texts and through these stories. I haven't been reading them the same. And so thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is still alive today. But it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for you have been called for this purpose. How many of y'all know God called you out from the miry clay? Come on, I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all know you believe that God called you out of the miry clay? He pulled you out of darkness and brought you into a glorious light. I mean, y'all know he pulled you out of fear and put faith inside of your heart. He took away your heart of stone and put a heart of flesh on the inside of you. Come on, you ought to thank God this morning if he's done something different on the inside of you from this world. He has called you for this purpose since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. And that's what we've been looking at in the stories. And we're about to see this, the woman with the issue of blood, but it also has another story that's tied in it of this dad named Jairus. But as we've been talking about walking in his footsteps, I've just been thinking about how he has paved the way for you and me. In fact, we saw in John chapter 11 how Jesus raised Mary and Martha's brother from the dead named Lazarus. We saw in Scripture where he is the provider for you and me. And how many of y'all believe he will make a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch for your business, for your family, for your life, for your situation? Come on, you ought to give God more glory than that. He will do it. There's a little boy that came with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we saw him as the God of multiplication. He is not the God of division. He is not the God of subtraction. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 10, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God came to give life, come on, and life more abundantly. God is the God of multiplication. In fact, he loves addition, but really in God, mathematics is multiplication. How many of y'all know he doesn't just want to heal you once? He wants to heal you twice. He wants to heal you 3 times, and 3 times 3, 9. 9 times 9, 81. 81 times 81, I don't know what that is. But here's my point. He's the God of multiplication. He said, don't just forgive once. Don't forgive twice. Don't just forgive 7 times, but 70 times 7. Oh, 30, 60, and 100 times fold. Amen? He's the God of multiplication. He's the storm calmer. How many of y'all believe he's the storm calmer? How many of y'all can lift your hand and said, he has calmed many storms in my situation, in my life? Look at these testimonies all across the room. We serve a God that is alive and not dead. He is the deliverer. And we saw that on Mother's Day. The madman of Gennesaret. He is the deliverer. Come out of the man. What is your name? Come out of the man. What is your name? How many of y'all believe he's still the deliverer today in 2021? I was excited to be at the Life Challenge banquet the other night of 3 men that finished and graduated from the course of Life Challenge of being in there for 12 months, Bible boot camp. Let's just give them a hand for doing that. I don't know if any of them are in the room, but How awesome is that? He is still the deliverer, but today I want to look at him as being the healer. And up until this point, we know a lot of things that have happened. We know this because of some of these that are in here, I'm going to bring these up here in the near future, but we know from reading the Word of God that he's already turned the water into wine. We see that he has healed the nobleman's son. He drove out an evil spirit out of a man already, and he also did not to mention the one that he did on the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee there at Gennesaret that we saw last week. But he healed Peter's mother-in-law. He launched out into the deep for net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. He cleansed a man with leprosy. He healed the centurion's servant's boy. He healed a paralytic man who was let down from the roof, that they gouged out the roof. I'm still going to share that story as well. How many of y'all know we need people in our corner that will help us down in miracle situations? We need to surround ourselves that have miracle mentalities as well. I'm going to say that again. We need to surround ourselves with people that have miracle mentalities as well. Amen? And so he raised the widow's son from the dead. He calmed the storm. He cast the herd or the demon out and put it in the herd of pigs. And so up until this point, this is where we get that word is beginning to travel that Jesus is all of these things, that he's the dead raiser, that he's the provider, that he's the multiplier, the storm calmer, the deliverer. And today we're going to see how he is the healer. But if we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and as we study him, I'm telling you, he's still the healer today. He's still the healer today. In fact, I was thinking about this. There was a movie, Pastor's first cousin was a famous Texas Ranger, Joaquin Jackson. And there was a movie that they put out about him. And Pastor was telling me, Pastor was very close to his cousin. And he is like, he's very famous, world-known Texas Ranger. Many books that he's wrote about his life. What a legacy that he had. I mean, he was one bad dude. In fact, if you just pay attention, lots of places throughout Texas, you will see his picture up. I've noticed that because, you know, being a part of the family. But there was a movie that they did out of him catching these guys. And what they did was is they studied how he talked, how he walked, how people interacted with him. They came, they sent the actor, and they wanted all the moves of what he did because they wanted to portray his life to a T. I'm telling you, if we study how people reacted to Jesus, we will have the same outcome on our life. I'm going to say that again. If we study how people reacted to Jesus, your faith has made you whole. Keep believing. Come on, you need the spirit of Bon Jovi on you. Just keep on believing, baby. Amen. I will survive. We need to look at how he walked and how he talked, because I'm telling you, he's still at the right hand of the Father. He is not dead, but he is alive. And if we study these and look at these from a whole new lens, I believe God wants to show us some things. So in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, when Jesus had gone across over in the boat to the other side of the sea. He's in the city of Capernaum here. This is the city of Jesus. He went to his city of Nazareth and he was rejected there and he camped out in Capernaum. Prophet wasn't accepted in his own hometown. So a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. We need to see something. In King James Version, it says he stayed nigh by the sea. So you need to picture this. They cross the great storm. They go Gennesaret. He casts the demon out of the man. They get back in the boat, and they come back to the other side. The Bible says a large crowd gathered around him. Why is there a large crowd? Because people were beginning to hear about Jesus. All right, this is going to be a big part of my text this morning, because people begin to hear about Jesus. And so there's a large crowd. They already know all the things that have happened. News begins to travel. And the Bible says he stayed nigh until the seashore. That means this: when he walks out, gets out of the boat, there is automatically a crowd of people that are pressing into him. In fact, this word pressing means to crushing of grapes. He could have used a whole lot of other words in this text here, but he uses the word of crushing of grapes. That means people were pushing in. They were pushing past people. They were pushing past others because they wanted to get to Jesus. You know what America needs? America needs a pressing in them. You know what this church needs? This church needs a pressing in them. No matter what I got to do to get to Jesus, I'm going to get to Jesus. You know, there's all kinds of things that are keeping people out of the house of God this morning. But no, you came this morning and you pressed past what the world wanted you to go to. And you got in the house of God, and I believe a miracle is here for you today. I'm going to say that one more time. How many of y'all believe there is a miracle for somebody here today? Stay nigh unto the sea. That means he's probably still inside of the water. Because in those days, it's not like, I'm sure that the way boats work, so much of that boat is underwater that he had right there, people were waiting. The crowd was pressing in. I'm trying to paint a picture to you this morning. You want a miracle from God? Study how people reacted to Jesus. And it says, they stayed nigh to the seashore. He stayed nigh to the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and seeing him, fell at his feet. So one of the synagogue officials, now you need to understand this, that he is the leader of the local synagogue, probably of Capernaum. And the fact that they put his name Jairus in there is because everybody knew who Jairus was. Jairus wasn't just somebody that one person knew, but everybody say everybody. Everyone knew who Jairus was. By them putting that in there, so how does Jairus get to Jesus if everybody is pressing around? Because his position made a way to Jesus. His position made a way to get before the feet of Jesus. Here is this man. Now you got to understand, he is a man of power. He is a man of authority. He is a man that is valued. He is a man of money. You know how people with money, they think? They don't think like people without money. They think a little bit differently. People serve them. Money can buy you anything inside of their head. Right? I'll tell you what it can't buy. It can't buy your boy to be healed. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. And so here's a man of stature. People know who he is. They had to make a way. And here he is, a man of nobility. A man with probably what he is wearing costs three times more than anybody who has pressed around Jesus. He is a man who is probably influenced by other leaders and people around him. And here he comes saying nigh unto the shore that he probably fell inside of the water. In fact, the word fell in the Greek means this, that he fell so hard prostrate that he was like a corpse. He was dead. How many of y'all know when your kids are sick, it'll make you drop every kind of pride that you've ever had? When your babies are sick, you will do anything. And in front of all of these people, people saw him as somebody. In fact, for him to even recognize that Jesus is a rabbi, that was huge. And so here comes this man at such a place of humility that he falls prostrate before the Lord. I'm sure he's soaked. He's covered in sand. He's covered in water. I'm trying to paint the picture to you. When you are desperate for a miracle, you'll go away with, you don't care what anybody thinks of you. You don't care what anybody sees of you. You don't care what, you will crawl through anything to get to the feet of Jesus. Come on, I'm trying to paint a picture to you this morning. His position made a path for him. And he fell at Jesus' feet and he begged anxiously with him. I promise you, this is not a man who begs for anything. Anything is right at his feet. But here is a man who's begged for nothing that is now begging and pleading. In fact, this word beg means to pray for. He's praying at the Son of God's feet. And he begged anxiously with him, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. This means point of death. It means she's been sick for a long time, but now the last stages of her life are upon her. She's terminally ill, but come and lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. I like this word healed here in the Greek. It means total salvation. Amen? She's not only going to be healed in her body, but she's going to be healed inside of her spirit. Everything about her is going to change. And Jesus went with him. How many of y'all know he was a man of position? But this just tells me, especially in the next text where we see this woman with the issue of blood was a such lower class of people, that it don't matter if you're of high class or low class, Jesus wants to go with you. And Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in around him. So here he is going with this man, and people are still reaching out, grabbing, like crushing of grapes in on Jesus. And then it goes to verse 25 here. A woman had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Do you get that? 12 years. 12 years. She had had a hemorrhage. She had an issue of blood. And had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead, she had become worse. How many of y'all know when you're sick like this, it will cause you to isolate yourself? In fact, I don't want to get ahead of my message here to show you something between the two things and some similarities here. But here is a woman that not only she is physically dying, she is emotionally dying. She is financially dying. Everything about her, because of something inside of her life, is causing her to deteriorate all the way around them. Isn't it amazing? With one door open, one particular thing in your life, it not only affects that part, but if you're not careful, it will affect everything about you. Even your friends. You'll find friends, you'll get people in your corner that will only think just like you. And if you don't think like me and agree like me, I got to get new friends. People lose friends when they're going through some garbage. Because if you don't think like I think, I got to get somebody different. I'm just trying to paint a picture to you. So here's all these pressing of people, and here comes this woman from behind. There's a reason she had to. She had heard reports about Jesus. Oh, man. She had heard reports about Jesus. And she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe. So here's a man. There is a path made for him. He gets to Jesus. And now it's somebody inside of the crowd. Because of the Levitical law, she couldn't be in a crowd of people. But she had heard about the miracles of Jesus. She doesn't have a path made for her. But she has to come up behind him. And she has to do the same thing as well, but she's got to reach for the hem of his garment. Come on, I'm trying. This is two stories, but really this is one story. We're going to look at some differences in the two, but there's a reason that all throughout the Gospels that they put these two together because they happen together, but there's something that we can take from both of them if you want a miracle done in your life. So she sees, grabbed a hold of him. This word sees is like a bulldog. When he sinks his teeth into something, he locks in and he's not letting go. How many of y'all know you need to lock into the Lord sometimes? For she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will get well. How many of y'all know, I believe this with all my heart, I have talked myself into healing. I'm going to say it again. I have talked myself into healing before. I'll say it one more time because some of you haven't ever got this before, but sometimes you need to talk yourself into healing. The Apostle Paul, when he's standing before the King of Agrippa in Acts chapter 27, it says that he thought himself, I think myself happy. You can put on some happy pants by just thinking yourself into it. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto him. Then what's it say? Lord, have mercy. I just went blank. I only know that scripture. Hey, I'm human here. Come on. 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? So she thought herself, you know, just this week, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I listen to the news all the time. And as I'm driving down the road, and I tell you, this deal with Israel truly has had me just in a disarray. And I think about my family. I think about America. I think about lots of things. And I think to myself, Lord, have mercy. I want to just go down to Washington and slap the fire out of some people. My flesh wants to rise up so much. But the Lord reminded me of this, and I want to help you out with this. This is the way that you can think yourself healed. You can think yourself happy. It's found in Psalms 27, verse 13. I will remain confident of this. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. Let's just go ahead and go there. Psalm 27, 13. Now, the Amplified is a little bit different, but it says, I'll remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to say it again. When the lawyer tells you there's no way you're getting out of this, I want you to remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When the doctor comes to you and says there's no way you're going to get out of this, you only have 30 days to live, I want to tell you Psalm 27, 13. I will remain, come on, say it with me. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will remain confident of this, and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord. No matter what that teacher called and told me about my kid, I will see the goodness of the Lord. My kids will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. No matter what the House, no matter what the Senate, no matter what White House says, I will see, come on, I will see. As for me and my house, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? Come on, get that in you this morning. And this is what she's saying because she heard about it. Faith began to rise up inside of her. If I just touch his clothing, how many times we just got to talk ourselves into it? I promise you, she's thankful that she did. Immediately, everybody say immediately. Dr. Charlie pointed out something to a couple of us men one time that Mark here, he's such a servant that he did things immediately. Notice in the book of Mark, there's suddenlies, there's immediately's, right away. He's a man of action. Her flow of blood was dried up. That's a miracle. She felt in her body, she was healed of her suffering. That word suffering, and King James says plague. Plague is a prisoner that is beat over and over, put back in his cell, and he brings him out and he beats him again, puts him back in his cell and brings him out and beats him again. She had had this for 12 years. Immediately, Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? I want a selfie with him. I added that part. Addison, I added that part, okay? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in around you. Remember, crushing of grapes, there's so many people. And you ask, who touched me? I noticed when the anointing came out of me. I'm telling you, you will notice no matter where you are when the anointing is present. Still, he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. You know what Jesus is looking for? People. Jesus is looking for people that are reaching out and touching him. He's looking. He's looking. Even in the crowd, he's looking for people. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. Why is she afraid and trembling? Because she is, according to the Levitical law, she couldn't touch nobody. She couldn't see nobody. Because of this blood on her, she had to be at a whole different part of the house. She was isolated from everybody. Because of the Levitical law, because of that blood and that hemorrhaging, there's no one. I mean, she could go and see doctors, but really, in all reality, she was not to be touched, especially by someone of high ranking like a priest, like Jesus, the high priest. It was totally against the rules. That's why she's afraid. That's why she's trembling. She's healed. She's whole. She's made new. But she comes and she begins to tell Jesus the truth. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be healed from your suffering or this plague. While he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue official's house saying to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer? So get this, here's this man, they've made a way for him, they're on their way, this woman interrupts them. I've preached this before about Jairus, if you want a miracle in your house, dad, you get in the presence of God. And even when bad news comes, you stay in the presence of God. Overhearing what has been said, Jesus said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid, only keep on believing in me and my power. He says, now is not a time for fear, now is a time for faith. Can I tell you something in 2021? Now is not a time for fear. Now is a time for faith. And he allowed no one to go with him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Verse 38, they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he looked at the uproar and commotion and people loudly weeping and waiting in mourning. When he had gone in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but is sleeping. They began laughing at him, but he made them all go outside and took along the child's father and mother and his own three companions and entered the room where the child was. You know what this tells me? Where honor is not present, miracles won't happen. I'm talking to leaders right now. I'm talking to everybody inside of the room. They're laughing. They're commotioning. I'm just telling you, no matter who is out in front of you, I see people all the time, even during praise and worship or even during the message. They yip-yap with one another. They talk amongst themselves. Not only is it distracting to the people around you, I'm telling you, it's distracting to the Spirit of God. Can I tell you something else? Go to the bathroom before church. I'm just telling you this morning. Listen, and I know that some of you have to go, like the pregnant ladies on the front row. That there's a young man in there that's beating up her bladder as we speak. I understand those types of things, but I'm just trying to tell you where honor is present, miracles happen. We need to honor the Spirit of God. You know what we're going to do in this house? We're going to honor the Spirit of God. I've been in meetings full of leaders where somebody's up front and talking, and they're just talking amongst themselves. I'm telling you, where honor is not present, miracles cannot happen. And you may think that it's fun. You may think all that. I'm just here to tell you, the Spirit of God is not going to come into a place where the Lord is not going to be honored. The miracle couldn't happen with all those people inside the room. He had to get them out. Get them out. Taking the child's hand, he said tenderly to her, Talitha Kuma, which translated in Aramaic means, little girl, I say to you, get up. The little girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. Haven't we already brought that up before? 12 years old, and immediately they were overcome with great wonder and utter amazement. So that's the story. But I'm going a complete different direction this morning than I ever have. The Spirit of God led me to this. I want to look at the differences between the two, but I want to look at all the things that are same as well. Because no matter what pedigree or where you come from or where you're at in your walk with Christ, I'm just here to tell you God wants to do a miracle in your situation. Because he pinpoints so many different things out about this. The difference in the two girls is one of the differences I see is this. One had an appointment with God, but one didn't. So that tells me this, we need to always be intentional to meet with Jesus. Because every morning, Saturdays, Sundays, Monday, all the way through Friday, I have an appointment that I have set up, just like Jairus had an appointment with Jesus to go to his house to heal his daughter. The other one did not have an appointment. She had to make a way to get to Jesus. Whether you have an appointment or you don't have an appointment, you should always be at a place where you're intentional to touch the hem of his garment. Are you getting this morning? You need to be intentional at that time where you've set aside to pray, but you need to be intentional at Pack-A-Sack. You need to be intentional to hear the voice of God and be led by the Spirit of God. When things come up, let's have a plan of attack for it. Here's another thing. One had brought the faith. The woman with the issue of blood, she brought faith to the situation. The other one had to rely on their daddy's faith. I'm just here to tell you, it don't matter. You may not have a speck of faith inside of this room, but that's why we forsake not the assembling of saints together with unbelievers. I believe there is their faith inside of this room today. Why don't you grab a hold of the faith next to your neighbor? Why don't you grab a hold of the faith of your mama? Grab a hold of the faith of somebody. But I'm telling you, the only way that the miracle happened was because of faith. Whether she brought it or daddy brought it, the difference in the two is one brought their faith, one had to rely on somebody else. In Mark chapter 2, we see the paralytic man who was brought through the roof that we've talked about, he had to rely on their faith. In Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus, it was because of his faith that his sight was regained to him. I'm just here to tell you, an ingredient for a miracle is faith. One was of high class. One was of a lower class. Get that this morning. I've already talked about it. But one was of a high class. One was of a lower class. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all of one in Christ Jesus. No matter your pedigree of where you've came from, Jesus wants to do a miracle in your life. Here's another difference that I see in the two. One had a path made for his position. One didn't have a path to follow. You may be in here just like me, that you were raised in the house of God. You were raised under scripture. You were raised under prayer. You had parents that paved a way for you to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And I'm telling you, you ought to thank Jesus for that. I do it all the time. Me and my wife do it all the time. Thank God we were raised in a home that served the Lord and worshiped him. And if you don't get it now, teenager, one day you will get how important it is that you are raised in a faith-filled home. But it also tells me, those of you that you've been lost as a ball in high weeds and you came to the Lord and you don't know all the things that are inside of here, I'm here to tell you that God will still do a miracle for your life. Amen? Come on, you ought to thank God that he made a way for you. You ought to thank God, even though you hadn't served him all your life and now you're 35 and you just came to the Lord, I'm here to tell you that God is still in the miracle working business for you. Whether you've served him 100 days or one day or one hour, I'm here to tell you we serve a miracle working God. Amen? Those are some of the differences that I see, but there's some common denominators that I see about the two. Again, I've preached Jairus before. I've preached the woman with the issue of blood, but this time I wanted to see it all as one. There's so many things that are common here. Both needed a miracle. Both of them, it was out of their control. He was a man of high ranking. He had money. He could buy himself anything or get to anything, but this was one thing that he couldn't do. How many of y'all know life will throw you some things that you just can't do on your own? Life will throw you things that you thought you had the answer to, but I promise you, you've got to cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. What I see common about the two, it was beyond their control. They both needed a miracle. They both were terminally ill. One, she was at the point of death. She was on her deathbed. The other one had lived with this hemorrhage for 12 years. How many of y'all know when you lose blood over and over for 12 years, you will eventually die? They are both terminally ill. She'd had it for 12 years. And I love the fact that it points out 12 years, don't you? Because it don't matter how long you said, you know what, my grandpappy's pappy's pappy has dealt with depression. I don't care about your grandpappy's pappy's pappy's depression. I'm here to tell you that we serve a God that don't matter how many generations that it's gone, you can still be set free from depression. It don't matter if your marriage has suffered for 10 years, for 10 days, for 12 years. I love it that he points out the fact that it may have been a long time for doctors. It may have been a long time for Dr. Phil. It may have been a long time for your society that you live in. But I'm here to tell you, God will break that curse off your life. You just got to be willing to reach out and touch him and grab him. Come on. How many of y'all getting this morning? 12 years. 12 years. It may have been 25. They could have put anything out there. The woman or the man at the pool of Bethesda. The man who was at the gate called Beautiful. I love it that they put out the years that they were there. Because it builds faith on the inside of us. No matter how many generations it's been in your family, it can stop with you. Come on, I'm going to say that again. No matter how many generations it's gone on, it can stop with you. I'm going to say it one more time for somebody to get it in their heart this morning. It don't matter how many generations it's gone on, it can stop as for me and my house. Come on, we will serve the Lord. Both were terminally ill. Doesn't matter how long, 12 years, both were isolated. And both couldn't be touched. She was isolated to a bed. Jairus' daughter. She was isolated to a bed. She was isolated to a home. The woman with the issue of blood, she was isolated to a place. It was unlawful for her to get out. She was in that place. Both of them were at a place of untouched. See, a priest couldn't touch a dead body. Couldn't be touched. This woman with the issue of blood, it was unlawful. That's why she was scared. She was trembling. She couldn't be touched. I'm just here to tell you, there may be some things that say there's no way. That may have been a doctor's report, a lawyer's report, whatever report it is that say there's no way that a miracle can come out of this situation. It's going to go untouched. I'm telling you, God can make a way. Both were isolated. Both couldn't be touched. You may be at a place right now where you feel isolated. You feel all alone. You feel like you don't have any friends. But a miracle showed up when Jesus showed up. Both required faith. Both required faith. Get that in your heart this morning. Both required faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by what I hear. He's still the healer. He's still the provider. He's still the strong tower in time of need. The name of the Lord. I love this. Listen to this. Both had heard of Jesus. There's a reason that Jairus went because what? He had heard about Jesus. The Bible clearly says it about the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard about Jesus. Now, when I read this, it was like something jumped off the page at me. These people are not in a synagogue. These people are not in a temple. These people are not at a place. In fact, thinking about this woman that shouldn't even be out in the crowd because it was against the law and against the rules, that means she had to hear people outside of her home shouting from the rooftop, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done." Come on. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to pray. Come on, Lucas, where you at? I'm going to praise his name. You know, thank God for the testimony in the house of God. But I'm just here to tell you, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, you want a miracle to happen in Amarillo, Texas, you better share the love of Jesus inside Target. People need to hear about Jesus inside Walmart. People need to hear about Jesus in the feed store. People, the Bible says, go into all the world. What is your world? It's the hospital. It's the client. It's the VA. Come on. It's in the barn. Wherever it is. It didn't say they were in a small group, confined to them, inside their little peers. I'm telling you, it's a miracle that this woman heard about Jesus, but they people couldn't shut up. Oh, my crippled hand had been came out. I've seen him cast devils out of people. Peter's mother-in-law is now healed, is set free. People, the Bible tells us in John, the last chapter of John, that books can't contain all the miracles that Jesus did. People were shouting from the rooftops. And like I said, thank God for a testimony in the house of God. But I'm telling you, you want real miracles? Tell them outside the house of God. People need to hear about Jesus. I do it all week. All week I do it. That's what I love still about shoeing horses, places that I go and people that I see. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a dead raiser. Whatever you're going through, I got a story for you. Come on. Amen. Both had heard about Jesus. Here's the next one. Both of their healings came from someone being at the feet of Jesus. Both of them reached out and touched somebody. Not somebody, but Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come at this time. But I hope you see this morning. In both of these, both of them needed a miracle. But in both cases, healings came from someone being at the feet of Jesus. The man of nobility right there at the water, he was on his knees. And he was begging and he was pleading at the feet of Jesus. Hear me out this morning, because there's some men in here, you need to let go of your pride if you really want. There's some of you who think, I will stay right here in my sin. You have some pride that built up on the inside of you. I will stay right here in my sin. I will stay right here in my sickness. I will stay right here rather than go to the foot of Jesus and beg for a new life. I'll stay right here in my dysfunction. I'll stay right here in this mentality. I'll stay right here because I'm not bound. I'm here to tell you, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't say that about American flag. It only says it about Jesus. Amen? A miracle happened in both cases. It doesn't say that the woman got on her knee, but the pressing, get that, the pressing. Like crushing of grapes were all around him. And the Bible says she thought to herself, if I just seize the hem of his garment. You know she had to be on her knees because she had to come up behind the crowd, because if the crowd saw her, she would have been chastised. Get that. But he didn't care. I will crawl through sand, through water. I will push through people. I will do whatever I can to get to Jesus. Both of them. The dad did the same thing. Come on, you've got to break some things off of you. You've got to let go of whatever facade that you're trying to play for somebody else. Dad, you know what you need to do? You need to show your kids how to get on your knees. Let go of whatever thing your dad put on you, or your uncle, or what people think of you. You want a miracle in your home? You get on your knees and beg for your children's life. You know what I do every morning? I mean, you guys know what I do every morning. 6:30 you do. But every morning, every one of my kids, they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's specific things that I pray for my kids. There's times where Brandy and I get together. Mom, a miracle done in your home? Both of these, one was dead, one was terminally ill, both needed a miracle, both required faith, but both got on their knees. In God's presence is fullness of joy. I hope you see something this morning. No matter what makeup, what pedigree, whatever you come from, it covers every basis. Don't you love it that the stories are together? That it covers everything. That Jesus is still the healer today. He's still the healer today. Both of them got on their knees. When was the last time you got on your knees? Both of them reached out. Both of them. One of them, it was the dad who reached out. The other one, it was her faith that she reached out. When was the last time you reached out? When's the last time you reached out? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to ask you that this morning. When was the last time you reached out? I'm not talking about a Sunday morning. I'm talking about a Monday morning. I'm talking about a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday. You know, God wants to do miracles in our life every single day. I'm going to say that again. God wants to do a miracle in each and every one of our lives every single day. Parents, you ought to set it up that your kids see miracles happen in your home. When we were believing God for homes, we'd get together as a family. We're going to believe God to have this house. You know what? It's great for my children to see that God made a way. They need to see those things. When we're praying for somebody to be healed, like something terminal, and then when we can come back and tell our kids, hey, he's still the healer today. He's still the healer today. They both reached out. Both needed a miracle. They both were terminally ill. Doesn't matter how long. They both had it for 12 years. Both were isolated and couldn't be touched. Both required faith. Both had heard of Jesus. Both of their healings came from somebody being at the feet of Jesus, and both of them had somebody who reached out. Get this in your heart this morning. How many of y'all need a miracle right now? It's beyond your control. Just keep your hand raised. How many of y'all need a miracle? It's beyond your control. It's beyond how much is in your bank account. It's beyond all of those things. Come on, just lift your hand. Reach out in faith. Come on, reach it really out in faith this morning. How many of y'all believe he's still the miracle working God? Come on, I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all believe he's still the miracle working God? I'm going to say it one more time. How many of y'all believe he is still the miracle working God? Keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that the power of God goes in operation. Lord, as they lift their hand in faith, Lord, you know the situation. You know the healing that needs to take place. You know the son or the daughter, the husband, the aunt, the uncle, whoever it is that needs to come to Jesus. You know, God, that situation. You know that financial disruption. You know what it is. So, Lord, as these reach out in worship, reach out in faith. God, I pray right now, miracle working power in this room. The anointing coming into this room in Jesus' mighty name. I come against those thoughts that say, well, it's been 12 years. Well, it's been 14 years. Well, it's been 15 years. God, I pray that they would look past that and they would just get at the feet of Jesus. They would get at the feet of Jesus. God, make a way. Make a way right now where there seems to be no way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, renovlifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.